He watches your fantasy games for you. He's here to help you crush your leagues, baby. Finally, somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about on this podcast. Oh, yeah. When you want straight talk about Bene Agbayani and Prince Amuka Maka 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 Maka.
Fantasy Week 20 on Monday, August 11th. Adam Azer, Michael Hercombe, Scott White. We've got bullpen news. Joe Nathan stinks. Henry Mejia's hurt. We've got injury news. Carlos Gonzalez could miss the rest of the year. Joe Mauer could be back today. We've got a bunch of pitchers who are owned in less than 10% of leagues that might actually impact your fantasy team positively. And we've got call-ups as well. And I have friends to my right and to my left here. Hello, friends.
Hello, Adam. I loved how Adam almost did like the what's up with Scott White's name. Scott White!
Did I?
Yeah, it was great. I thought that's where you were going.
Doing a podcast.
What's up with Scott White?
Wow. How old is that now? 15 years?
Oh, it's a long time, man.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. People listening to the podcast who weren't even alive for that. Probably
not, I would say. Do you think we have listeners under 15?
Yeah.
If you are listening and you're under 15, write us an email or have your mother or father do so. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. Let's get to the show with the big news. I don't even know where to start today. There's so much going on. Brad Ausmus is sticking with Joe Nathan as the team's closer. In a possibly related note, Joaquin Soria is on the DL with an oblique strain.
You spelled that on the notes like I would pronounce it.
Why? Oh, yeah. Well, that's how you spell it. I spelled it on the notes like he spells his name.
That's not how he spells it.
That's what I'm saying.
J-O-A-K-I-M.
Thank you. You got
really?
Got Joaquin Benoit and Joaquin Soria.
You're thinking of Joaquin Phoenix. Adam spelled it J-O-A-Q-U-I-M.
No kidding.
See, yeah. I didn't want to point you out. You were calling me out. I didn't think it was necessary. I just knew Scott was going to back
me
up.
Oh, you didn't
here.
Think it was necessary, but you did it anyway.
I just laughed. You see, I was like, come on, man. Don't make me go there.
All right. Carlos Gonzalez on the DL with knee tendonitis and a sprained ankle. Do you think it's safe to drop him?
Yeah, he may miss the rest of the season. I was reading in the Denver Post that they're actually concerned.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd drop him, though.
Right.
It's obviously there's some leagues out there without a DL spot, and you're just putting him on your bench. And maybe if you have a need, I could see doing it. I actually dropped Michael Wacha in a league when it looked like he might only make a start or two, and now they're talking like he could make more than that. So that was premature, and that's the danger in doing that with a high-end player.
Okay. Edwin Encarnacion should be back soon. Can we start him this week?
If you want to maybe get him for like four games, and hopefully he comes off the DL on a real hot streak.
So a little risky?
Yeah.
Joe Mauer likely back today. Start or sit?
I think I'd start him.
And what about Andrew McCutchen? Start or sit?
The GM called his recovery miraculous or something like that. He looks like he's going to avoid the DL and he's going to be back before 15 days. So, I mean, it's risky still. You don't know what kind of shape he's with the layoff, if he's going to hit the ground running or be rusty. So I'd still say it's risky.
It was an anticipated miracle. Yeah, they held off putting him on the DL all this time. I don't know. It sounds a little
I'm not doing it.
Contrived to me. Is contrived the right word there?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, it sounded good.
Okay, and Ben Paulson was called up for cargo. So let's talk about the call-ups. We do have Ben Paulson, who played first base for the Rockies against the lefty yesterday. Morneau was out. Liriano, Padres outfielder, got promoted. He was batting .452 in 16 games at AAA, and at AA this year, he hit 14 homers and stole 17 bases. Let's start with those two guys.
Yeah. I hadn't heard about the Reimer coming up, but I think he's an interesting prospect. He and a couple years ago, he and Gregory Polanco were kind of on the same track. And then Liriano, I think he had Tommy John surgery.
Yep.
I'm just going top of mind on this. So
Missed the 2013 season.
Yeah, so that kind of put him behind Polanco, but he's had this nice bounce-back season. I don't think he's quite as good as Polanco, but I think there's going to be there's playing time available for him. And I don't know that you got to rush and pick him up in all leagues. I think maybe five outfielder leagues you give him a long look. And anything shallower, you're keeping an eye on how he performs here out of the gate.
Would you rather have Liriano over any Twins outfielder?
No, I see. The thing is, Scott, I know he had 14 homers and 17 doubles at AA, but he had like 4.45 slugging percentage and 7.77 OPS.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, and that was in the hitter friendly.
Well, it was a AA.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying AA. And I was like,
it was the PCL.
I'm sorry, I was in my Texas league. So, yeah. Another hitter friendly league.
Not as hitter friendly.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I'm still an Arcia fan, but I'm starting to wane on that. I guess in deeper formats, if you really want to take a flyer on Liriano, go ahead.
Well, I don't worry so much about the slugging percentage because, I mean, that's just kind of the way it goes for these players as they're developing sometimes. Christian Yelich wasn't.
But Christian Yelich hasn't hit for a lot of home runs this year.
No, but he's been good.
Sure.
He's been good.
Sure.
And you don't know when he's going to start hitting home runs.
No.
It's supposed to happen at some point.
I mean, if he's got a good line drive swing, you know, you hope that really plays well on Pecco. And he's got speed, Liriano.
Would you rather have Alcantara or Liriano?
Alcantara.
Yeah, Alcantara.
Reddick or Liriano?
I think I'll go Reddick for the power. He's whatever that knee brace is doing for him, it's working.
Yeah. I mean, he might just be a roto guy.
Yeah.
Reddick.
Sure.
For home runs, but in that case, I would go Reddick. Maybe not in other cases, but if you're talking head-to-head, it's probably too shallow to pick up Liriano.
Ben Paulson, does he matter?
My thing, listen, Ben Paulson's been really good every time he's been up with the Rockies this season. He hit the first time, he homered yesterday, but where are they going to find him at bats? I mean, I think he's only played a handful of games in the outfield in the minors. He's a first baseman, and they have Justin Morneau there, and they didn't trade Justin Morneau.
Right.
He's hitting the minors, he's hitting the majors. How are they going to find him at bats is my issue.
Yeah, maybe just against lefties. All right, Robbie Ray is going to replace Anibal Sanchez as Sanchez is on the DL. Any interest in Robbie Ray?
Not outside of AL-only leagues for me.
All right, Tommy Malone's going to start Monday for Minnesota at Houston.
Deep formats. He was a guy that was, when he was with the A's earlier this season, he had a lot of sleeper potential. But, you know, he's back a rotation guy.
San Francisco called up Adam Duvall, and he played first base yesterday. Michael Morse was out with an infected ingrown toenail, which is gross. And Morse is day-to-day, but Adam Duvall, are we going looking for him on waivers?
No. Did you like him when he was up before? When
he's
Belt was
pop.
Out?
He's got some pop, doesn't he? Belt's out
yeah,
of
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know. It's NL only. That's...
All right.
When I say no, it means NL only because you get in the deep enough NL only format, everybody matters.
And Cleveland called up Zach Walters. He's shortstop eligible, right?
Yeah, you believe you're correct.
Yeah, and he started in left field yesterday at the Yankees. Interested in Zach Walters as David Murphy and Nick Swisher are on the DL.
What's the Scott says no, AL only?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least he's middle infield eligible. Yeah. That helps. And he has some pop.
I would go deeper formats.
Yeah.
All right, in the bullpen. So, you know what? Instead of going through the rundown of everybody here, who should people that need saves pick up right now?
I guess let's just start with Henry Mejia's situation with the Mets. He's pitching with a hernia, and that's about one of six injuries he listed yesterday. It was very interesting. After Mejia said this, former Mets reliever Tim Burdick went on Twitter and said, because Mejia said, I can pitch with it, no problem. And Burdick said, no, you can't. He said, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and your mechanics get out. And look, Adam, read your numbers over the weekend. He didn't do all that well.
No, he did very poorly on Friday. Got a save, but nearly gave up a grand slam. And he gave up a run on two hits. And then on Sunday, two-thirds of an inning, three hits, two runs, one walk, one strikeout at the Phillies. Whereas Jairus Familia has been really good.
And he wasn't available yesterday, but, right, if you have Henry Mejia, you may want to handcuff him with Familia right now.
Don't you wish you had taken our offer in the editorial league for Joaquin Benoit?
No, because that would require me to trade with Jamie Eisenberg. And let me tell you, Jamie Eisenberg's a worst trader in the world. You even said that. So not trade with Jamie Eisenberg.
You could have traded with me. I'm his co-owner.
I know, but it's still Jamie Eisenberg's a co-owner on that team.
Why is he the worst trader in the world?
He just offers these insulting trades, and you just like.
He does.
I'm not. This is not my first rodeo.
Well, I mean, we share a team. But the thing is, we've made three trades that we thought we won easily, all three of them. So you may not work on you.
People don't mind being insulted.
Yeah.
Like, Grilly went on the DL. We picked up Melanson. He got a save. And Jamie's like, oh, let's try to sell Melanson now. I'm like, dude, everybody knows that Grilly's coming back soon. This is before Melanson won the job. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if I didn't have a crystal ball at him. I didn't know Mejia was going to say I got six different injuries.
Yeah. Okay. So there's the Mets. What about the Tigers? It seems like nobody seems to want to grasp the opportunity to replace Joe Nathan.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I don't know that there's anybody to pick up here. Joe Nathan was terrible over the weekend and has been terrible all year, but I don't think they turned to Chamberlain for saves, and Soria's out of the picture now.
Yeah, I remember Chamberlain had that save opportunity at the Red Sox, gave up a Ortiz home run and blew it, had a save chance yesterday. And he blew it, and then the Tigers lost in 19 innings. And the Blue Jays, Casey Jansen's been struggling. He has an 8.68 ERA since the All-Star break. Anything there?
Yeah, he's been bad, but there's not like a clear standout they're going to turn to me. Sergio Santos used to be that guy, but he's gone now, and deservedly so. He was terrible. So I just think they stick it out with Jansen.
Fernando Rodney has given up 11 hits in his last 7 innings. He's been struggling. Any concerns?
No. The Rays trusted him. I think the Mariners are going to trust him.
I want to add, Jansen, I feel like, is a guy who's pretty widely owned because he was great for a while and obviously has a bit of a track record in the role. Just because the Blue Jays are sticking with Jansen doesn't mean you necessarily have to. Joaquin Benoit is, 50% owned, if that? And
Casilla,
always
McGee.
Been a dominant reliever. Was great closing for the Tigers last year. Is in a good situation to record a bunch of saves for the Padres. I think he's not getting nearly the credit he deserves, especially now that the trade deadline's passed. The non-waivers trade
sort
deadline.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
John Heyman says it's... You know, what did he say? It's unlikely that Benoit gets traded, or he doesn't expect it.
Yeah, yeah, because Al's taking the stance that, oh, he's still halfway expecting Benoit to get traded. I'm like, no, his contract's good. He's too good to get far through the waivers process to a contender that would actually want to acquire him.
Right.
I don't think it's happening. And John kind of was like, well, it could or it couldn't. He didn't really help solve that debate, but... I'm still betting on it not happening. And then even if it does, you get Benoit for now, and you're happy with it.
And what about any other situations out there?
Jake McGee in the Rays. I mean, that was, again, it's just so interesting with Joe Maddon. He just doesn't put roles on anybody. If he needs Jake McGee in the eighth inning, he's going to use Jake McGee in the eighth inning.
Yeah, but McGee is pretty much closed almost exclusively
for a while. But still... Shouldn't you wait to use your closer in the ninth inning?
No, I mean, he had the top of the order coming up, so he brought him in. And then Boxberger blew the save in the ninth. That was on Friday. It was on Friday.
Yeah, and McGee was fine. But it's just Joe Maddon saying, if I need him outside the closer's role, I'm going to use him outside the closer's role. I still own him in fantasy. I have no hesitation about that. Like you said, he's been the guy, but this is just...
It's frustrating. You know, yeah. Okay, next category is called Shove Me in the Shallow Water Before I Get Too Deep. Nice girly music here on Fantasy Baseball Today. By the way, we have our live video show noon Eastern time today. John Heyman's coming on. We'll talk about some of the big topics. I hear a bunch of pitchers who are owned in less than 30% of leagues, many of them owned in less than 10% of leagues, that I think maybe could help you, and I want to get your opinion on them. And the ownership stay low at this time of year because not everybody's participating right now. Chase Anderson. 26% owned, last 5 starts, 1.74 ERA and a strikeout per inning. Hector Santiago, always been a crush of mine, pitched pretty well against the Red Sox. Tsuyoshi Wada is 1-1 with a 3.25 ERA and 25 Ks and 27 2/3. He's 8% owned. Trevor May, is 8% owned. He was terrible at Oakland. It's hard to say, go pick him up.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Nelson was also really bad against the Cardinals like four starts ago, and he's been pretty good since.
Yeah.
For what it's worth. May walked seven.
By the way, Jimmy Nelson faced Clayton Kershaw yesterday and pitched pretty well, but obviously Kershaw was better. Guess who he faced again on Friday?
I don't know if he will, though, because apparently they're going to throw Kevin Correa in the rotation at some point.
Oh, you're right, yeah.
To give everybody
Monday
extra
today,
rest.
You're right, yeah. So
he might face Kershaw.
Yeah.
He might not. Let's hope he doesn't. There's Trevor May, seven walks, whatever. Mike Fiers! People are going to get excited about him. First start of the season, eight innings, three hits, one run, one walk, five strikeouts against the Dodgers. Brett Oberholzer has a 3.28 ERA in his last seven starts. He's 6% owned. And Carlos Carrasco was really good yesterday at the Yankees. Five scoreless innings. Remember, he's getting stretched out. He's been a reliever this year. Two hits. He's been a starter, but it's been a while. Two hits, scoreless innings, and no walks, four strikeouts in five innings at the Yankees. So I gave you a bunch of names. Chase Anderson, Santiago, Wada, May, Fiers, Oberholzer, Carrasco. What do you think?
Well, I think if I was going to recommend one, it would be Fiers, who has a chance to stay in the rotation for a while because Matt Garza's oblique injury is going to require more than a minimum stint. And Fiers, back in 2012, right?
Yeah.
He was really good right up until the last few starts. Like, more than a strikeout per inning, low ERA and whip, lots of innings. And he was great in the minors, too. Now, I do have concern that maybe he's one of these pitchers who can dominate minor league hitters pretty easily because the control is good. But once there's scouting reports put together on him in the majors, like, he gets crushed, because that's basically what happened last time. He was up for a while, and he started getting crushed, and then the following year he got crushed and then sent to the minors and got hurt. But because we've seen him dominate before, I think it's interesting. I will say between him and May, who Trevor May, we know he has upside. May's 8% owned, Fiers is 6% owned. You made the comparison with Nelson for May, but there was a lot more hype on Nelson coming out. He was a lot more owned than 8%. So I felt like there was a little more urgency to pick him up than there is May, particularly after this start for May. Obviously, AL-only leagues is a different story, but in mixed leagues, I think you just wait till he does something that deserves being picked up because nobody's really going to beat you to him.
I can't wait till Trevor May faces Sonny Gray so we can say a Gray-May matchup. Sorry, these things I think about. Scott's
really
on his rants.
You can wait. You can do better than that.
Well, I mean, I could do better than that, but then we would be a PG show.
Okay, fine.
We have 14-year-olds listening, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I agree with everything Scott said about Fiers. Adam convinced me. We picked him up in our podcast league, and then I went and picked him up in a bunch of different formats for the control. Two other guys on this list I want to talk about is Wada and Carrasco. You know, Wada's interesting for the fact that he came over from Japan, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he came over from Japan with all this accolades, and he never really got to pitch for the Orioles because he was hurt. But he had good numbers when he was pitching in the minors this year for the Cub, and he comes up, and yeah, his first start was good, didn't do well in his second start, but then look at him now. He's, there's some sleeper potential here. And Carrasco, I'm just not convinced yet because whatever reason, he gets up to face the Yankees. Look at his career number against the Yankees. Like, all his great starts in his career come against the Yankees. So I'm going to need a little bigger sample size from Carrasco before I jump on that bandwagon.
All right. Tell me who stood out to you guys this weekend.
Scott, would you like to do the honors?
No, I'd like you to do
the
honors.
All right. Ruby De La Rosa or Ruby De La Rosa in most circles.
Ruby.
I was really impressed with his last two starts, he only allowed a combined two runs. But yesterday was really interesting. He got into a lot of trouble early, and particularly in the fourth inning against the Angels, he put runners on first and third with no outs, and he emerged unscathed from that inning. And these last two starts were on the road where he had a lot of struggles this year. And this is a guy I've been touting for a long time. I think he's got really good sleeper potential for fantasy owners down the stretch.
The only thing I'll say about the start was that they had played 19 innings the day before.
That's true, too.
And they even talked about it. Like, they were tired. The players were tired, and nobody scored for like 7 innings in that game, right?
Yeah.
So it's just something to keep in mind. He's 31% owned De La Rosa. He's ahead of Fires or De La Rosa?
I own De La Rosa in a bunch of formats. Now I own Fires, so I guess I own both of them. I can't really say one or the other, but I guess I would
You have to.
If I had to pick one?
Yeah.
Man. I guess I would go with Fires just for the fact that he's coming off a heck of a season in AAA, and look what he did in his first start the other day.
How about that?
I mean, 8 innings. Two more guys. Or actually, three more guys real quick. Billy Butler. He's just nice numbers lately. Listen, ever since he said I started playing first base, he said the pressure of, you know, not thinking. He says, because I guess in DH you have a lot of time in between at-bats, I think. He just says it just freed me up. I'm mentally in the right place. So, hey, maybe this is the old Billy Butler. Well, he's at least playing first base.
Nice.
Gregory Polanco, 350 over his last 11 games, I believe. Starting to heat up after that little lull, and fantasy owners are getting worried. No more worries there. And why won't fantasy owners trust Bartolo Colon? He's the 33rd highest scoring starting pitcher in points leagues, and he's a top 60 pitcher, which includes relievers, in Roto. I mean, his last three...
When it's bad for Colon, it's bad.
Yeah. Prior to his last 3 weeks, he had low numbers, but the last three scoring periods, he's had over 20 fantasy points in each of them. He's starting at 39% of fantasy leagues. Are leaving points, and in Roto, you're leaving much out there.
I feel
not
like
using
he's so
them.
R.A. Dickey-like. Like, the ERA's okay-ish, the whip's okay-ish, the strikeout rate's low. Like, I don't know where the points are coming from, but
He pitches deep into games.
I would rather take a shot on an upside guy like Ruby De La Rosa than...
Why, though?
So-so...
Bartolo Colon's producing.
Yeah, he's producing because he has a whole year of innings accumulated.
But even... No, look at how many scoring periods he has more than 20-plus fantasy points.
How many he has fewer than 20-plus
I think six.
Points. That's six out of what? That's like a third of them.
But look at what his production is for the season.
Good. I mean, if he's the 33rd best starting pitcher.
And top 60 in Roto, that's starting. That's including relievers.
Top 60. I thought you said 16 for
a
second. Oh, no. I'm not interested. I'm sorry.
Well, at some point, though, in the season, because we only have 7 weeks left.
Yeah.
Like, do you stop looking at the high upside guys who might take more time to develop and go with a steadier play? Even if it's not Bartolo Colon, just generally speaking.
Oh, sure. I mean, I've moved Rick Porcello up into my top 40 now when he was outside the top 70 for a lot of the year.
Where do you have Doug Fister? Because you and Al always had Doug Fister solo, and Doug Fister does the same thing. All he does is just go out there and produce for fantasy owners.
Well, Doug Fister is a lot better than Bartolo Colon. I have him in the top 40 also.
I have both pitchers in the top 40.
This is the argument I make all the time with Hyunjin Ryu, who is 31st.
High five, buddy.
For both of you.
But Hyunjin Ryu is a lot better than Bartolo Colon, too. Look at Colon's rates. They're not good.
But he produced. It doesn't matter. Fantasy owners all care about production.
He doesn't even have a good win-loss record. I think it's just a matter he's been durable. I think that's the biggest reason he's 33rd, which isn't that great, first of all. It's...
Scott, look how many points he's been over 20 fantasy points this year. And in Roto, he's still top 62.
I would expect most pitchers, good pitchers, to be over 20 fantasy points.
Well, we should give him credit. He never walks people. So that probably helps his
whip. But the whip is, what's the whip? I think it's over 1-2.
Let me see. Bartolo Colon's whip is 1. Oh, sorry. no, it's excellent. It's 1.16.
No, it's almost 1-2.
6.8 strikeouts per 9, and that's pretty high for him. So that's been helping.
What's the ERA?
1.16 is not almost 1-2.
Yeah, it's 0.4 away.
1.16 is an excellent whip for a starting pitcher.
It's close to 1-2, though.
Not really.
It is 2.
No, come on. That's not fair. 1.16. There's probably a lot of pitchers who are between 1.16 and 1.2. When you're talking about whip.
Yeah, but... How quickly could it go to 1.2? It's not far away.
I don't know. That's a pretty good whip.
What's the ERA?
The ERA is 3.97.
Okay, maybe that's what caught my attention. I knew there was some rate that I was just like, eh.
But his FIP is 3.50.
Because 3.50 is a great ERA.
No, I mean, look, he's had a lot of bad starts. I think that's why I shy away from him. You know, last start was great. 8 innings, 6 hits, 1 run, no walks, 6 strikeouts. That's great. The start before that, I gave up 6 runs.
Yeah, I understand that. But again, still in that week, he had over 20 fantasy points.
Like, who's going to have the guts to start him just in a one-star week? I want it.
Yeah, he doesn't give you enough strikeouts.
Like, in a two-star week, sure. But there's a lot of pitchers.
He hasn't been a two-star pitcher in 3 straight weeks. He's only been one time a two-star pitcher in
the last
3 weeks.
Right, but who are you going to sit for him in a two-star week? Are you going to sit a two-star Phil Hughes for a one-star Bartolo Colon? No way.
All right. Well,
you don't want to win championships, Scott White? That's fine. All right? That's your prerogative, buddy. All right, I'll get off my soapbox.
Okay. All righty. If James Paxton is available in your leagues and you're not picking him up, then you don't want to win fantasy. That's my take. And he's owned in 68% of leagues, and I feel the same way about Jimmy Nelson. He's owned in 48% of leagues. If those two guys are available in your leagues, like, you need to get them.
And how about the number one list on the most added?
Yeah, okay, let's talk most added?
Kyle Hendricks. I said last week he's the next Jacob deGrom. And fantasy owners are starting to treat him that way, too, because he's the most added player in CBSSports.com.
He does have 2 starts, so hopefully they're good and you can hang on to
exactly.
him. Exactly. Now, Chris Tillman, guys, he's really been terrific. Last 12 starts, 4-3, 2.40 ERA. Now, the walk-to-strikeout ratio is not great, mostly because the Ks are down, but over his last 7 starts, 9 walks, 38 strikeouts. So those are starting to come up. Mm-hmm. Home run rate's down. Tillman, 73% owned. Must own?
No, not must own, but I am starting to come around to him again. He's in the Phil Hughes class of pitchers for me, where you own him for the 2 start weeks. You don't really bother with him otherwise.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you agree with my assessment on James Paxton and Jimmy Nelson?
That they need to be owned?
Yeah.
Nelson, for sure.
Paxton's better than Nelson.
No, I like Paxton.
Up top, buddy.
Look, don't make me out to be a Paxton hater or something. Okay. I'm just saying. He hasn't done much yet.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean? He's 2-0 with a 2.38 ERA and a strikeout per inning.
He has 2 good starts this year. That's it.
He's got 4 starts on the year.
Exactly. He hasn't done much yet.
He left one of them with an injury, didn't he?
I'm just saying, if you want to see more from Paxton, I don't think that means you're playing fantasy wrong.
Scott, when you came in this morning, do you think we'd be so much fighting on the podcast over starting pitchers?
I don't know. I never know what to expect. I mean, I'll give it to you. Paxton's 20% owned more. Paxton's 68 and Nelson's 48, so maybe just because of that,
who would you rather own?
Needs to be owned. But I think I would rather own Nelson.
All right.
That should probably be reversed, but there's enough competition for Paxton right now that you probably do need to act and pick him up if you want to have any chance at him at all.
Is Jimmy Nelson running into an innings limit this season? Because let's say Fires pitches really well and Matt Garza is ready to come back from the DL. Like, who leaves that rotation? If Nelson's innings are getting up there, I don't know what they are. Could it possibly he be the guy that leaves the rotation, even if he's pitching well?
I don't know. I would take the approach of I'll worry about that when it happens. Nelson's going to be good enough, it seems.
Right. I mean, and like Renicki said yesterday, Garza's not close to returning, so we don't have to deal with this for a few weeks.
All right, I'll look up the innings now. Hey, what do you guys think about Vance Worley? He's owned the same amount of leagues as Jimmy Nelson, and he's really been excellent.
Well, here's another thing. Who's going to leave the Pirates rotation as Gerrit Cole makes his return? Gerrit Cole. Cole was really good in his rehab start yesterday. I'm with you. I think it should be Volquez. I'm a huge Vance Worley fan. I said it last week, Scott, on the podcast. It was Thursday, I believe, that his mechanics have changed. And he's now no longer flying open, which he said was hitters were seeing what he was throwing. Mm-hmm. They said he can't see it anymore, and that's the reason he's having success. I know in AAA this year his numbers weren't overly well, but some guys, when they just get to that major league level, they take it up a notch. Here's my thing, because I don't know what the Pirates are going to do. I mean, Vance Worley could easily be the odd man out. I left him on waivers in a lot of formats because that hesitation. We just don't know what the Pirates are going to do.
Okay, real quick, Jimmy Nelson, 162 1/3 last year.
Okay.
This year he's at like 148.
Yeah. So he could go. Yeah, he's got some, yeah.
I want you to rank these pitchers. Paxton, Nelson, Worley, Hendricks.
Nelson, Paxton, Hendricks. I don't know. Worley and Hendricks are pretty close. I'll go Worley over Hendricks.
It's really close, but I think Worley's last on the list just for the fact I don't know. I'm a huge Kyle Hendricks fan, so I think I would go Paxton, Hendricks, Nelson, Worley.
You think Hendricks is that good?
He's getting the job done. Look at what he did in the minors. I mean, this is...
Yeah, look at what Nelson did in the minors.
I know too,
he was like Clayton Kershaw down there.
I just haven't been really overly impressed with what Nelson's done. I know we had this discussion a few weeks ago.
What has Hendricks done that Nelson hasn't?
He's
like 5 Ks per nine.
I don't know. I just think he's like Jacob DeGrom, another guy that just is overlooked from what he did in the minors. Everyone's like, when's DeGrom going to get booted from the rotation? When's he going to fall off? And
DeGrom was striking batters out.
Yeah, and he faced a lot of teams that struck out a lot. He faced Atlanta. He faced,
Miami.
Stopped.
He
slowed down recently.
No, he's still been about a strikeout per nine, about a strikeout per inning.
Has he in his last few starts?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know.
I'm just going off of memory. That's the way it works in podcasting. You don't have the numbers right in front of you, but
well, let's check it out.
You and I, from this podcast, I've learned you and I value starting pitchers in a whole different light.
Yeah, you just
I pick guys that are producing and they're getting the job done.
Producing is mostly about wins and losses.
I think
it's not about
it's fantasy production. I think Jimmy Nelson
is mostly about
losses. Correct me if I'm wrong. You want to look it up? I think Jimmy Nelson combined his last two scoring periods to total 21 fantasy points.
Yeah, but again, wins and losses. He took the loss yesterday. He still had four straight quality starts for Jimmy Nelson.
Okay, so
who do you think is going to win more
eight
games?
Fantasy points yesterday or something like that.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he didn't.
So where's the strikeouts?
Gio Gonzalez had a crappy game yesterday. You're going to drop him for Bartolo Colon or for
Bartolo Colon?
Are you going to drop Gio Gonzalez for Kyle Hendricks because the scoring hasn't been good lately? I mean, you can't just look at fantasy points with starting
pitchers.
Yes, you
can. How do you think you win? Oh, my gosh.
You have to look at the reasons behind the fantasy points.
Kyle Hendricks over his minor league career, like a 2.59 ERA and a 1.04 WHIP. You're telling me he's a terrible pitcher?
I just don't understand what
I'm
your beef is with Jimmy Nelson.
I don't have
and
beef.
His
I said,
points
I said
when he went up against Clayton
I said
Kershaw
these are all
yesterday.
Really close, but I like Kyle Hendricks. I would own Kyle Hendricks. I said
Jimmy Nelson goes up against Clayton Kershaw yesterday. You cannot look at his fantasy points. He's got four straight quality starts. He's got a very good ERA after that horrible start against St. Louis, and he's got 30 Ks and 36 innings and 10 walks, so he's doing just fine. And his fantasy points don't tell the whole story. I mean, you got to look at the things that are contributing.
You
to the
guys talk
points.
About Bartolo Colon being a crappy pitcher, but for three straight scoring periods, he had 20. Plus fantasy points.
Who said Bartolo Colon was a crappy
pitcher? You guys did.
Stop putting words in my mouth.
Yeah, you are paraphrasing a little bit too much here.
You're telling me right now you would start Jimmy Nelson over Bartolo Colon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're both crazy.
I don't think you're both crazy.
It could be matchup dependent, but
my gosh.
They have the same opponent. Absolutely.
All right, we need to move on because we're just wasting time with this debate. You're not going to change my mind.
Well, I'm not trying to change your mind. I'm trying to win listeners over.
Yeah, we're obviously not going to change your mind. We did waste a lot of time there. We have a lot of injuries to get to. The guy that everybody loves, Jacob DeGrom, is not striking out a batter per inning anymore over his last three. He's got 15 strikeouts in 19 and two-thirds.
Oh, that's not – that's close enough. Come on.
Close enough is not enough.
What do you mean? 15 and 19?
Hey,
like,
15 and just... 19 and two-thirds. So that's 75%, basically.
Yeah, but you're talking about such a small sample. One or two strikeouts changed the whole thing.
Scott, what you said
if it was 10 and 19, if it was 10 and 19, then I said I don't remember him having a bad strikeout game recently.
No, you said he was at a strikeout per nine.
You did.
Close enough.
I can't really give it to you.
Close enough is not enough.
I sided with you on the Cologne thing. I gotta go with Herc on the DeGrom strikeouts thing.
All right, fine. I think he's been doing fine with strikeouts, and that number doesn't change my mind.
Well, I just overall yes, but over the last three starts, really hasn't. But okay, fine. Then let's just go to the most added list here. We've got Kyle Hendricks 1, Javier Baez up to 90% owned, Colin McHugh 2 or 3, Caleb Joseph 4. 23% owned, per Scott White's advice, I dropped J.P. Arencibia for Caleb Joseph just for this week. We'll see what we do in the future. But Caleb Joseph and Chris Carter, Scott, both had good weekends, and you like both of them this week, right?
Yeah, they're both starts at their respective positions. Hopefully they didn't get it all out of their system. they have good matchups coming up, both do.
Jeremy Hellickson is 5. Danny Santana is 6. He is the man.
He is... I also like him for this week.
Yeah, and I didn't like him last week because he had like Lester and Sonny Gray and Jesse Hahn and even Jason Hamill and like five. Yeah, I think he only had 6 games, and he still had a good week. Mm-hmm. So Scott loves the matchups for Danny Santana this week. So keep an eye on him. 73% owned. Colby Lewis, David Peralta, Grand Slam Saturday against Colorado, and I know I picked him up. I saw Scott picked him up. Herc made me pick him up. Billy Butler, Kenneth Vargas, and Chris Carter. What do you guys think about that list?
Well, let's go ahead and talk about Peralta, shall we?
Yeah.
I'm starting to trust in the batting average just because it's gone on long enough in the majors, and that's what he did in the minors. And the plate discipline still leaves some room for skepticism, but we're getting to the point in the season – like you mentioned with the pitchers, Adam,
right,
where a guy's doing you need stuff to happen for you right now. And particularly in roto leagues, if you need help in batting average and you see that the Diamondbacks are facing righties, a bunch of righties, because Peralta's not as good against lefties, even though he had a good game against one this weekend. If you a righty heavy matchup and you need help in batting average and 5 outfielder league, I think that's where you're going to really appreciate what he contributes. And he's not a non-factor in home runs or steals either. It's not going to carry you in either of those categories, but he does something.
All right, anyone else you guys want to highlight here?
No, I mean, I'm all about Peralta, and even in points leagues. Again, look what he's done the last 5-6 weeks in points leagues. He's just solid. And Billy Butler, I talked about earlier, I went and picked him up again. At least while he's on a roll, you might as well start him. Chris Carter, when's his hot streak going to end? I mean, his numbers are really good lately, but they're just, you know, they're kind of like off the charts. Like a cold streak's coming, so fantasy owners, you know, probably should prepare. I'm not saying drop him. I say continue while he's hitting. And Dustin Ackley. You know, last week I had him as a sit, but he homered twice. And he was at home, and he doesn't hit very well at home, but he homered, I know, at home at least one time. So Dustin Ackley's coming around. I think it's, especially with his dual eligibility in fantasy, that plays big.
Ackley or Peralta?
Well, if it's...
Go ahead, Scott. I'm a fan of both.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
You go ahead. I didn't know what I wanted to say.
I'm a fan of both, but if you need second base help, I go Ackley.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I mean...
That's kind of what I was thinking.
If it
was outfield, maybe Peralta, but...
Well, that's obviously, because Peralta's not eligible at second base.
Right.
So it was just in a vacuum, you know, if you...
Well, I mean,
outfield,
you have utility spot, too. But, go ahead.
All right. Peralta or Josh Reddick?
It would depend on what I needed. I think they are both more valuable in roto. I'm not sure I'd be able to make room for them in a 3 outfielder league. So home runs are more Reddick, batting average is more Peralta.
All right, Peralta or Raimer Liriano?
Peralta.
Okay.
You know what it is? It's this chair and that Scott and White are on opposite tables now. That's what's changed the whole atmosphere of this
podcast. Dynamic.
I'm in this big CEO chair, so, you know.
Michael Pineda
just puts your feet up. You're trying to
I'm intimidating you, Scott White.
Yeah. Michael Pineda is 69% owned. He's going to be back soon. You might want to get him on your roster.
Agreed.
Anybody else here that needs to be
Scott, isn't Colton Wong on your start list this week?
Yes, he is.
4 hits yesterday.
Yeah. Which was like nothing in between the 2-homer game and the 4-hit game. But
yeah,
when he plays well, he plays well. And I think he'll play well a lot this week.
How about Chris Taylor, guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I really wasn't overly excited when he came up. I think he's more of an average guy. I just don't see a lot of power there.
Yeah.
And another guy who's playing really well is Dion Viciado. But I think this is just the hot streak. We've seen it so many times from this guy.
Look at the production for Vizieto. For all the home runs he has, the week-by-week breakdown is...
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's like Mike Zunino, right?
Yeah.
With all the powers Zunino has.
Yeah.
Injuries, news, and notes, part one. Tyler Skaggs is having Tommy John surgery. Brandon Belt back on the 7-day concussion DL. Brian McCann is on the 7-day concussion DL. Hanley Ramirez is on the DL with an oblique strain. Miguel Rojas will likely get more playing time. Darwin Barney was called up. And Don Mattingly thinks Ramirez could return when he's first eligible. Well, let me look at some shortstops here on the most added list, and we'll...
Chris Taylor?
We'll do some replacements. Yeah, you have to go pretty deep for that. But shortstops... Well, I'll go to the most owned list. That should help.
Jordy Mercer?
No, that's probably a guy that could help you out if you're
you
in
could
a
do
pinch.
J.J. Hardy, but now he's dealing with an injury, and you don't know how serious that's going to be.
All right, how about shallower leagues? Jed Lowry, J.J. Hardy, Danny Santana, Gene Segura, Asdrubal Cabrera, Xander Bogaerts.
I'd go Santana, Lowry, and if Hardy's all right, he'd be my third on that list.
Santana, Lowry, Hardy.
Mm.
All right, a little bit deeper now. Solarte, Alcantara, Simmons, Jeter, Everett.
Yeah, I don't know... At least the two who stand out there are Alcantara and Solarte, and I don't really separate them from the previous group. I would rather have I probably do rank Lowry higher than Solarte rest of season, but Solarte's for the immediate help is probably the more useful of those two.
What about Danny Santana for you?
Santana, well, he's my start for this upcoming week. For this week, I have him ahead of Solarte, who's also a sleeper. And... Rest of season, yeah, I'd say he's ahead of Solarte, too. Yeah.
All right, deep
leagues. Well, just an interesting on Cabrera. I mean, he was producing really well since coming off the DL, but what did he sit out with yesterday again?
Hamstring
cramp. Problems.
It was a cramp,
I know.
Though.
It's still a hamstring problem, and is some concern.
All the every single time they said a guy's left with a cramp somewhere this year, it's become more than just a cramp. So I don't know that I even can believe that anymore.
Jordy Mercer, Brandon Crawford, Josh Rutledge, Brad Mills. Chris Owings, some prospects, Stephen Drew, VR, Echevarria, Zach Taylor, guys like that. Anyone stand out? Chris Taylor, not Zach.
Zach Taylor, I was like,
yeah, Chris Taylor.
The president?
How happy are you
Zach Walters.
Yeah.
That when we picked up Jordy Mercer and now we flipped him for Javier Baez.
Yeah, that's
you
pretty good.
It, yeah.
Pretty good. Anybody stand out? Eugenio Suarez isn't there.
Yeah, I mean, Mercer does to me. He's just continues. He doesn't, again, have a lot of home run power anymore after that little surge he had earlier this year, but, I mean, he's hitting for average.
Okay, moving on. Jacob deGrom, having his Tuesday start skipped due to a shoulder issue, could put him on the DL, so Noah Syndergaard and Rafael Montero could get called up for the Mets. Adam Eaton's on the DL with an oblique. Baltimore sent Miguel Gonzalez to AAA to make room for Ubaldo Jimenez. Angelton Simmons likely to return tomorrow. Pedro Alvarez practicing at first base. Dexter Fowler should be back this week. Matt Shoemaker and Rick Porcello both pitched in relief in 19-inning games over the weekend. I don't know what that does to the rotation.
I think the Angels did move him back to Saturday, Shoemaker.
They did?
I
wonder what that does to Porcello. Because, you know, Tim Lincecum's downfall came immediately after his unexpected relief appearance in a long game. So hopefully that doesn't mess
stinks.
Up Porcello. He does also stink, yes.
Hey,
it was halfway expected, the downfall, but the timing is hard to ignore.
Jed Lowry expected to start today as a bruised index finger. This is under the category of, well, that sucks. Miguel Montero is going to have his workload reduced for the rest of the season. Tuffy Ghostwitch is going to see more playing time. George Springer doesn't know when he'll return from the quad injury. Start or sit, Springer?
Sit.
Sit.
J.J. Hardy, start or sit?
Sit.
Yeah, sit.
Yasiel Puig, start or sit? Sore back.
Start.
Yep.
Everett Cabrera, start or sit?
Sit.
Henderson Alvarez, start or sit?
I'll probably sit him, obviously. We're talking about mixed leagues here, obviously. Yeah.
He is expected to make his start Thursday, though, against Arizona. And Alex Rios left Sunday's game after re-injuring his ankle. Start or sit?
Sit.
Sit.
Changes to two-star pitchers. Bud Norris gets two. Chris Sale gets two. Tommy Malone gets two. Hyunjin Ryu gets one. DeGrom at most one start. He's dicey. I don't know what. Let's see. Shin-Soo Choo, 4 hits Saturday, home run Sunday, starter sit, 6-game hitting streak.
I'm not in a 3 outfielder league. I'm not ready to go back to him yet.
He still strikes out way too much.
Is Jordan Schaefer a sneaky source for steals? He's got 17.
Like sneaky in an 18. AL only as sort of way. I don't think I'd bother with him.
Here's a name that could be really sneaky for fantasy owners: Mets outfielder Matt Dendecker. So the Mets said him and Wilmer Flores, it's time to give them playing time, and he switched his swing about. Mechanics about mm-hmm. 2 months ago, and it's been like almost like career changing for him. And he goes 2-for-5 yesterday in his first game back from the minors. This guy, deeper form, especially NL only, I would definitely take a flyer on him. But you know, keep him on your radar.
Anybody concerned about Gio Gonzalez?
I wouldn't say concerned. It's annoying. I'm annoyed. That's probably just the best way to put it. But I think he's still the same pitcher he's always been, and he just goes through these stretches where he doesn't locate very well.
Are you done with Kevin Gausman?
Yeah, I mean, not forever, but I could think of options I'd rather have on waivers. Jimmy Nelson, if he's only...
Kyle Hendricks or Kevin Gausman?
I'm not as high on Hendricks as Herc and Al are, so I could see them going Hendricks. I think I'm going to stick with Gausman, though.
I mean, I'm a Kevin Gausman fan, so.
Sticking with Gausman.
Going Gausman.
Especially in points leagues with RP eligibility.
Would you drop Gausman for Mike Fiers?
See, in my opinion here, if you're on the fence and you want to pick up Hendricks or Fiers and drop Gausman, I have no problem with that. Go with the hot hand. Chase hot streaks. That's how you win fantasy.
Well, I mean,
for guys that are in the same
doing
group,
it too early in the year, that's how you lose a lot of good players.
That is true,
but we're
too.
We're at a point in the year now where it's a little more justifiable.
More injuries, news, and notes. The Cubs traded for Jacob Turner, and he's going to pitch out of the bullpen. Jared Cozart likely to start Tuesday. Nick Swisher on the DL with knee soreness, as mentioned. Alan Craig, his recent foot injury not related to last year's foot injury. That's great news, and he could come off the DL when he's first eligible. The Dodgers acquired Kevin Correa. Do you guys have any interest in Rusney Castillo? He's the Cuban outfielder who's been working out for a lot of teams. And
you thinking about this year he's going to?
I don't know. I kind of get the sense that there's a chance.
It's late in the year, though.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised. I would.
Okay, Adam Lind expected to return today. Andrew Kashner made a rehab start over the weekend. His velocity was normal. Dominic Brown is back. Charlie Blackmon sat against a lefty with Corey Dickerson leading off, and Dickerson homered.
Off a lefty.
Did he?
Off a lefty. It was a good home run.
And Brett Anderson likely done for the season with a bulging disc in his back. Steven Sousa on the DL, Nationals outfielder. They called up Michael Taylor, but Jason Worth returned to the lineup yesterday. And Matt Lindstrom, 13% owned, should be back Tuesday for the White Sox. Do you think he is the closer when he comes back?
I would say no. Right. Robin Ventura really gave Patrichka a vote of confidence this weekend about how well he's performed in the role.
Isn't that the kiss of death?
Maybe.
Trevor Plouffe day-to-day with a sore left foot. Oswaldo Arcia day-to-day with a back injury. And Tommy Medica was able to pinch hit Sunday.
Oh, hey, one more name. I'm pretty sure this guy has shortstop eligibility. Eric Sogard of the Athletics. He shortened his swing about 3 weeks ago, and the results for him, he's 326 in his last 16 games. Good plate discipline, scores runs, sneaky option for stolen bases. He had 3 over his last 16 games. Not a lot of high upside here, but a guy that has doubles power, and if he's making contact, I believe in 2 of the last 3 scoring periods, he's had over 20 fantasy points.
That was a yawn. Adam
really?
That's
what he thinks of Eric Sogard. I'm not saying long-term option, but if you need a short-term option,
I was hoping somebody was going to talk while I yawn. All right. Here's an email from Adam. Dear POD, California, and Saint, I have this friend, spoiler alert, it's me, who has the worst starting staff in the league while my offense keeps carrying my first-place team. Which readily available pitcher should I pursue for the playoff race?
I guess...
haven't we discussed
that? Rewind.
Jimmy Nelson doesn't count. But he is readily available.
But yeah, Mike Fiers, Tsuyoshi Wada, if you're talking about that.
I mean, you're going, you know what?
Chris Tillman.
I mean, this is kind of like, you know, trying to get out of doing my job or whatever. But I just want to make sure he doesn't miss somebody who is better than the guys we're saying, just because we have no idea who's out there in his
sure.
league, you know?
Yep.
So if you play in a CBSSports.com league under players, the players tab, you go to roster trends, and you can adjust the buttons at the top so that you're just looking at free agents, you're just looking at starting pitchers, and you could sort them by most owned among free agent starting pitchers and see who's out there.
Yeah.
And the most owned ones, you start by looking at how they've performed recently, and you can pick probably the best guy that way. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah, absolutely. It's a useful tool.
Yeah.
It's a good Sunday evening activity.
Yep.
When you're making your waiver claims. Steve from Chicago, approve the move. I don't know what the hell. Dear complete lack of surprise, raging bile duct, and smirk of revenge.
Okay.
I'm in a 10-team head-to-head categories league. Approve the move. Drop Ibar for Lowry, Bogarts, Alcantara, or Mercer.
Either Lowry or Alcantara.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I might just stick with Ibar, to be honest.
Angel from Milwaukee, 12-team head-to-head points league. What should I do with Tulo, Cargo, Votto, and Rios?
You should wait on Tulo. The others are iffy at this point. I think Cargo's the one you're most likely to hold on to, followed by Votto. But there's a chance they might not contribute much of anything the rest of the way. So if you get desperate for roster space, I don't think we're beyond the point now where you'd consider dropping them.
Next up is Matt in New Orleans. Dear Lauren Praskarel. Go ahead and pronounce that one for me.
Praskarel.
Is that how you say it?
Sure, I don't know.
And Wyclef.
He's known as Pras.
They're the Fugees. This year I'm finishing near the top of the standings in WHIP and near the bottom in ERA. Is there something wrong with how I evaluate pitchers?
Yeah, you have the Scott White theory of it. I'm just kidding, Scott.
What happens?
You're best my best buddy, all right, buddy, Scott?
All right. Thank
Herc
you.
Is insane right now.
What can happen, and look, it could just be a fluky thing. That happens sometimes. Especially, it just happens sometimes. But just speaking from like an individual pitcher perspective, how it happens that a pitcher can have a low WHIP but a high ERA is the home run rate. So maybe you're not putting enough emphasis on the home run rate. Basically anything above one, or anything one or higher, let's say, per nine is high. And you might consider some pitchers with lower rate than that in the future.
Have you guys seen Fight Club?
Of course.
Is that what complete lack of surprise, raging bile duct, and smirk of revenge are from?
Huh. I've seen it several times. I guess it could be in there somewhere. It just didn't make much of an impression on me.
I am Jack's complete lack of surprise.
Yeah.
I've never seen Fight Club.
You've never seen Fight
no.
Club?
I've never seen it.
Like 10 minutes
what?
Of it. Yeah, no.
What is... It's one of my favorite movies.
Scott,
ever.
I tried to see the Prestige this weekend since you said it was your all time favorite movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't on demand.
I saw finally this weekend The Godfather 2, and I must say, after watching it, I highly underrated The Godfather 1. The Godfather
right?
1 looks like the best movie ever compared to The Godfather 2.
Oh, really?
I didn't care for The Godfather 2 as much as it.
Why did you bother to watch it if you didn't like the first one? That's what I
was. Because you have to. Everyone's like, oh, The Godfather 2. Didn't it win the first sequel ever to win Best Picture?
Yeah.
So.
I think it's the only
probably
sequel.
The only, yeah.
I mean, De Niro was great in it. De Niro, and he deserved the Best Supporting Actor if he won that year as well. But now with the first one, I'm like, wow, the first one's really good.
Paul wants to know if he should start Chris Davis with a C. Davis this week.
Compared to who? I don't think you have to. The Orioles do have pretty good matchups this week, though.
No, Adam would say, compared to who?
Compared to who?
Yeah.
What's my name?
What's
my name, Adam?
Scott White.
Yeah? Is that it?
This has been an interesting podcast. We're done for the day. Back tomorrow. Have a great day.
I thought the Fight Club thing, you were going to go like me and Scott White. Have you guys seen Fight Club?
No. I know that you were dying to punch someone, but not on the air.
I punched the table.
There you go.
When you won't straight talk about Bene Akbayani and Prince Amuka Maka 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 Maka.
Oakland.